This is a haunted edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, October 31st. Happy Halloween to you. Well, I was spooked by the snow coming down early this morning. How about you? But we will add to that scare by talking about the 10 most haunted places in Wisconsin, according to our guest, who is a Wisconsin paranormal researcher. Have you ever experienced a spooky encounter? Do you know of a place in the state or neighboring states with a haunted reputation? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Chad Lewis, a paranormal researcher and author for Unexplained Research. He is the co-author of several books, including The Unexplained Presents, The Wisconsin Road Guide to Haunted Locations. He also wrote a piece on Wisconsin's 10 most haunted places for Wisconsin trails, and we posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning, Chad.
Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween. Yeah, it was kind of spooky this morning. I don't know if you saw all that snow falling.
Yes, very scary for this time of year. Very frightening.
So you do a lot of research of paranormal happenings, not only in Wisconsin, but around the upper Midwest. How haunted is Wisconsin?
Well, I've traveled the world in search of the strange and unusual. And what I found is some of the weirdest cases happen right in my own backyard of Wisconsin. And I don't know if Wisconsin's more haunted than, let's say, Minnesota or Illinois. It could be that we just have more researchers here collecting these stories. It could be that there's people in Wisconsin that feel more comfortable reporting these. But what I can tell you is that Wisconsin seems to be overrun by these stories of hauntings, legends, and supernatural activity.
What spurred your interest about haunted places and the paranormal and the unexplained?
Well, I blame it on Wisconsin. I grew up in Eau Claire, which is not too far from Elmwood, Wisconsin, which is one of the three UFO capitals of the world that Wisconsin claims to have.
We have three of them.
Yes, Dundee, Bellevue, and Elmwood all claim to be the UFO capital. They all have UFO days every year where they celebrate the UFO history. And I was intrigued why people near my home were seeing UFOs in the sky. So I went to investigate, and then I started studying psychology at UW-Stout, looking at belief systems and human perception. And I started looking at why some people believe in the weird and others do not. I started lecturing on that, and people in the audience would come up and say, I need your help. I saw something in the woods I can't explain, or my home's haunted. Could you please help me? So it really went from there.
So where do you stand, Chad, on this? Do you believe in the weird, or are you approaching this as a skeptic trying to debunk the stories of the weird?
After 20-some-odd years of researching the strange, I'm left with more questions than answers. And I always state that I hope listeners don't take my word for this either way, that they go out to these places and decide for themselves whether or not they believe they're haunted. Because for me, I try to approach these cases in the middle. I don't know if they're true or not. I try to sort fact from fiction, try to deliver the background, the history, the folklore, but then ultimately leave it up to the reader or listener or viewer to, again, go to these places and try to come face to, well, not really face with these things.
Well, let's start talking about Wisconsin's 10 most haunted places. Number one on this article, Summerwind in Land O' Lakes. What is Summerwind?
Summerwind is a mansion way up north, about as far as you can get in Land O' Lakes. And the mansion has a long history of being haunted. It was said to be cursed by the original owner, who was looking for a deed to the property and the land of northern Wisconsin. People would live there and they report all kinds of things going on. This was one of the weirdest cases because legend stated that the house would actually grow and maneuver, that people would go into the big dining room one day and it may be 33 feet long. The next day, they reported it as 38 feet long. And the occupants were so frightened of spirits in the house that they finally gave up and started shooting their gun at these spirits inside their house. And there's not much left of the foundation of this once glorious mansion. But years ago, you could still see the bullet holes in many of the doors and walls. And people are seen to be drawn here. That I've heard from many people who claim that they just had a feeling, they saw it on TV or a special on it, and they just felt like they were compelled to drive up there and visit this place, which is really secluded, rural, and creepy.
You know, that story about the dining room getting bigger, it's like the house is breathing. Is that what's going on there?
Yes, if any of your listeners have read the fictional book House of Leaves, it's like that. It's like almost though they reported that the house was an entity itself, alive and growing and progressing and morphing, and that all kinds of weird things would happen inside this house. And finally, the people moved out and it sat empty for decades. And there's not much left of the foundation, but yet many people who do go there report that as soon as they get to the property, they don't want to be there, that there's something, almost a paranormal warning, that this lighthouse, this supernatural lighthouse, if you will, all of a sudden turns negative, and they decide maybe it's not such a good idea.
Yeah, so this mansion, I think I heard it was struck by lightning, and then it burned to the ground back in the late 80s.
Yes, it was in bad disrepair at that time, and they haven't done anything with it. The basement's still there, part of the chimney. And what I find fascinating is that several people have grabbed pieces of the foundation as a souvenir to bring home, but they quickly report that bad things happen when they take this. And that's common for a lot of cursed or paranormal places, that people will take souvenirs only to return them saying that they've had bad luck, mishap, misfortune, all kinds of bad things that seem to be attributed to these pieces that they've stolen.
So did you experience any of this strange activity when you visited?
I've been to Summerwind many times. Luckily, or maybe unluckily, every time I've been there, nothing has happened to me. But even if you have zero psychic ability like myself, that when you go to this place, you can't help but to be creeped out. I always say that when you visit these places, if you're not getting scared, you're probably not trying hard enough. Because these places, just knowing the history and the background, and believe me, when the wind starts whirling at about midnight and you're there by yourself, your mind does play tricks where every shadow seems to be something lurking in the woods. And that's half the fun for me, is letting myself get a bit freaked out while visiting these locations.
I saw a story in the news just this week that said that the current owners of Summerwind are trying to resurrect it. They're trying to raise money to rebuild.
Many of these places have been empty for years, and there are many of them that are trying to rebuild and renovate. Some of them try to open to the public as a B&B or a hotel or a restaurant. And I really hope that Summerwind can go back to its original glory, that seeing photos of it in its heyday, it was a majestic place. And it was part of Wisconsin's history, whether it's really haunted or not. I think that history should be preserved.
So number two on your list is Nelson's Hall on Washington Island off Door County. Now, I've been to Washington Island, but I don't... Where or what is Nelson's Hall?
Nelson's Hall and the Bitter End Motel is a bar and grill up on Washington Island in Door County. And it's my favorite bar and grill in all of the state. Many of your listeners, if they're looking for a road trip, can still get up there now. It was made by Old Man Nelson, and he was a fan of the liquor bitters. He would drink a pint a day of bitters for good health. And he passed away, and he's no longer with us. Well, scratch that. He's no longer alive. Ooh. Because many believe he's still haunting his old restaurant and bar and grill.
Bitters will do that to you, I guess, huh?
Yeah. And he seems to be haunting the most likely of places in his bar and grill, because the most common report I receive from Bitters and Motel and in Nelson's Hall is that women using the restroom often report seeing the ghostly image of a man hovering over them while they're inside the restroom.
Oh, no.
Most of them are so terrified that not only do they leave the restroom, they leave the building altogether. And perhaps the most gruesome story of a haunting happened to the current owner, Doug. He lives upstairs where Old Man Nelson died, and they hear people walking up and down those stairs. But one day he was washing the windows as he normally does, and he had been jokingly dismissing the ghost of Tom Nelson. And at that moment, the window came crashing down and spliced off 3/4 of Doug's finger. And he's convinced that the event was caused by the ghost that was unhappy with the way he was handling things.
That'll teach him to ridicule Old Man Nelson, huh? Wow. So
over 10,000 people a year visit this pub just to join the Bitters Club.
I have heard of this now. The Bitters Club. Gary Knowles, who is one of our regular guests, has told me I have to go and check out. I knew it as the bar that served bitters, but I didn't know that was Nelson's Hall. Okay, so people can go there and have a shot of bitters.
Yes, if you do a shot of bitters, you don't throw up. You're in the club.
Oh, no. We will continue talking about the most haunted places in Wisconsin with Chad Lewis, who is a paranormal researcher and author of several books, including The Unexplained Presents, The Wisconsin Road Guide to Haunted Locations. Do you know of a haunted location in Wisconsin or neighboring states? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is a Halloween edition of Tell Joy Where to Go here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is a spooky Halloween edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We are talking with paranormal researcher Chad Lewis, who wrote a piece on Wisconsin's 10 most haunted places for Wisconsin trails. You can read all about them on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we welcome the most haunted place you've ever been in Wisconsin. Have you ever experienced some sort of paranormal activity? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take Dan in Drummond, our first caller. Hi, Dan.
Hello. As you know, a couple of years ago, I had a good friend pass away from colon cancer, and that was in January. Well, his brother, wife, daughter, and cousin had stopped by the house in May, and his daughter had one of these cameras that took pictures real fast, or one of these phones that took pictures real fast, and she took five within maybe 15 seconds of putting it in the house. The first four pictures had nothing. The fifth one showed a silhouette of a head turned to the door, shoulders and hat. The first thing when they showed me that, I said, it's Randy.
And you truly believe this, Dan, that was his spirit?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wow. So, but that was it. There was no haunting or anything. I mean, that's haunting enough. But
yeah, I just figured he was letting us know that everything was all right.
Oh, so not a scary ghost, but a calming or reassuring one, Chad?
That's very common. Actually, the most common report I get are from people who believe by accident they've caught something on film, or they smell grandma's perfume on the anniversary of her death, or something like that. And for them, they take comfort and solace thinking that their loved one's coming back to them, telling them that they're in a better place and that they're okay. And it's very far from being scary.
Right. Well, Dan, thanks for sharing that story. Sorry for your loss, but I'm glad that you were comforted by that. You know, have you, though, ever, Chad, I don't know, looked at a photograph or truly debunked a potential haunting?
Yes. Many times we're able to find some what you'd consider normal or rational explanation. There was a case in Stevens Point where a family thought kids were running around in their upstairs. The only problem is they didn't have any kids, so they set out recorders, and in the morning they would listen and have all these garbled sounds that sounded truly haunting. But while we were there investigating, you would hear the train go by every few hours, and it would rumble the house. And while you're there, you could hear it and know that it was a train, but while you were replaying your recorder, if you weren't there just listening, you would think that it was some type of ghostly activity.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one we were able to explain away, although we had no idea why people were seeing a ghost of a woman in their bathroom, but at the same house, but we could at least explain away some portion of it.
Right. All right, well, let's go back to your list. And number three on the list is Mary of Elk Lake Dam in Elk Lake. What's going on there?
Right outside of my hometown of Eau Claire is one of the first cases I ever investigated. And it involves an area where back in the 1970s, a young woman was brutally murdered and her body was dumped out by the dam. And since that time, many people have seen her ghost walking around in the area. And this place is down. You have to walk through the woods to come to an old water dam, and the only way to get out if you're scared is to run uphill through the woods blindly or jump into the water and float down. So it's a place many people like to go to because it's creepy, secluded, isolated, and this woman has been seen. Many people see her hitchhiking, seeing her on the bridge. Construction workers had trouble with their construction vehicles. They wouldn't work. The batteries wouldn't start. And the good news is that because so many people have gone to look for this woman, that the Dunn County Sheriff's Department reopened their case into the murder of this woman, looking for her murderer who was never captured.
You tell the story of two fishermen who had a frightening encounter with Mary?
Yes, they were sitting out there one night just watching the beautiful water go by when one of the men turned around and he noticed this glowing woman standing behind him, and he nudged his buddy and said, "Hey, do you know there's a glowing woman behind us?" His buddy said, "Yes, I'm too afraid to turn around, though." About a half hour went by, they finally got this courage together. They turned around and the woman was gone. So were the two men. They hightailed it out of there, one of which would not even bring us back to the location. After a few lining kugels, the other one did agree to bring us back there, but he was visibly shaken the whole time he was showing us where they saw this woman.
Well, here's one that's not on your list, but interesting. Brianne on Facebook recommends going to the Karsten Inn in Kewaunee. She doesn't add any details there, but then Joe, who happens to be Joe Hartke, who is a technical director at Wisconsin Public Radio, added, "I agree about the Karsten Inn. I played a DJ set there in the 90s, made fun of the ghosts. I played Ghostbusters and didn't make it to the first chorus before the CD player started skipping. Busting them made them feel cantankerous, apparently." So do you know anything about the Karsten Inn in Kewaunee?
Yes, on the very east side of Wisconsin. The Karsten Inn has a long and haunted reputation. I've stayed there many nights. Actually, the last time I stayed there, I was awoken in the middle of the night. We had just set up all of our equipment, settled down for the evening, when we were just about to fall asleep, and it sounded as though somebody had put a boot in a drying machine. We heard a rumbling, a boom, 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 and we recorded it. And then, of course, we looked around. It was the middle of the night, and nobody was there. But staff members gave us a tour of the building, and they had all kinds of weird things happen. They would set equipment down and turn around, and it would be gone. It would appear somewhere else in the building. Many people have seen the ghost of a woman haunting the hotel, and they can see this figure moving throughout the hallways, and they often report that she disappears right before their eyes. And believe it or not, many people actually want to go to places that are thought to be haunted to spend the night.
We will continue talking about haunted Wisconsin. Would you like to go to a presumably haunted place to spend the night? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Chad Lewis, a paranormal researcher and author for Unexplained Research. And we'll continue talking about Wisconsin's most haunted places after the news.
If I remember it right, and we had just gotten back off tour last night, so the gang and I thought that it would be groovy if we summon up the posse and dumb rush the movies. I got Angie, Jeff got Tina.
We'll get back to our tour of Wisconsin's haunted locations in just a few minutes, and I'm still looking for more recommendations for places to go if we are looking for a creepy, spooky experience on this Halloween. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and now it's time for Wisconsin Life. All Hallows Eve, or Halloween, was originally a religious celebration. In Mexico, on November 1st and 2nd, Day of the Dead is observed. Nancy Camden introduces us to artist Jose Chavez, who helped organize Milwaukee's annual Day of the Dead community celebration.
The Day of the Dead is a Mexican celebration in which we pay respect to the loved ones. It's a celebration of life more than death. It's one of the most important religious celebrations in Mexico. My name is Jose Chavez, and I came from Central Mexico, the state of Michoacán. I've been in Milwaukee for 30 years. I got my master's degree from Marquette in business, but I've been doing art for 20 plus years. Half of my work has been influenced by the tradition. For a guy like me and for more Mexicans, and I think this is true for any newcomers that come to this country, it's very difficult to forget your roots. We are not afraid of that. We are very respectful because we know what it is. But in the process of celebrating, we make fun of the dead. If you are celebrating Day of the Dead, we use skeletons. How else can you depict that? This is a paper mache. I made this. That's a skull. And the tradition of Day of the Dead. Mexican tradition of Day of the Dead is made of pagan rituals, the pre-Columbian rituals and the Catholic rituals. You know, when the Spaniards came to conquer Mexico, a lot of missionaries came. They knew that it was very difficult to eradicate beliefs. The Franciscans found similarities because in Europe, they were celebrating All Saints and All Souls Days. They allowed the Indians to be Catholics by day and pagans by night. November 1st, you have a big celebration where you make the best of your food. It's like a big party to invite the souls to come and visit us. We do it in two ways. One is to at the core of the family, where you put the altar. You put offerings of food, and those foods or goods are the goods the loved ones who pass used to prefer in life. we adorn the altar with flowers, mostly cempasúchil, the marigolds. The yellow color represents the dead. And the other part is to go to the cemetery. By remembering and honoring them, we heal our hearts, you know. We feel the same pain, but we have this wonderful tradition that allows us to cope with that and celebrate it. The parade here in Milwaukee starts in the park across from United Community Center. We march around with music, and it's very, very colorful. We stop in Walker's Point, Center for the Arts, and then you have dancers, and then we can go to the park. Everywhere that you find a Mexican community in Wisconsin, it's done everywhere. We do a lot of things fun. We create art. We create food around it. We honor their memory.
This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin. And on this Halloween, we are also observing the spirits among us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about Wisconsin's seemingly haunted locations. And welcoming your questions, places that you've heard about that send a chill down your spine, and any haunting experiences that you may have had at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Chad Lewis, a paranormal researcher, author for Unexplained Research, co-author of several books, including The Unexplained Presents, The Wisconsin Road Guide to Haunted Locations. Trevor in Appleton has been waiting. Hi, Trevor.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering if you or Chad are familiar with the Mirabel Caves Hotel in Mirabel.
You know, someone posted that on Facebook, and I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with exactly what goes on there. Do you know what goes on there, Trevor?
Well, I've read some things on the internet. I was driving by it one day, and the place just looked creepy from the outside, so I decided to do a little bit of research. And I guess it's burned down three separate times over the course of its history, and supposedly the people that have perished in the fires are now haunting the place. And I'm wondering if Chad knows anything about that.
I bet you do. Do you, Chad?
Well, that's exactly true. The legend is that this once was Wisconsin's most luxurious hotels, and that numerous young children met their end on one of the fires that consumed the place.
Oh.
And it is no longer a hotel, but the stone building is still there. And one of the most fascinating reports I get is not only do people see and hear the ghostly images of children thought to be those who were burned to death, but also out in front of the old building was the well, which is now a flower garden, and numerous people have looked into this well and thought they saw what appeared to be a portal to hell that would open up. The dare was that if you were foolish enough to look into this well, you would see flames coming up toward you. You could even feel the heat, witnesses said, but most of them didn't stick around long enough to find out what it truly was. Unfortunately, not much of the building is left anymore. A storm not long ago destroyed nearly all of the building, but there are talks, like Summerwind, of rebuilding this place and opening it, but locals call it Hotel Hell, so I doubt they're going to use that name.
I guess not. Trevor, thank you for bringing up Mirabel Caves Hotel. Now, here's a place in my hometown that I remember spooky times there. I can't say I ever saw a ghost, but the Riverside Cemetery in Appleton, lots of spooky stuff happening there.
Legend tells of Kate Blood, a woman who was said to have murdered her three children, and therefore she was not allowed burial inside the cemetery proper, which is why she's down by the river all by herself. If you were not looking for her grave, you probably wouldn't be able to find it. It's that secluded. But many people who go there claim that when they went there, the gravestone seemed to be leaking out what appeared to be blood. And I say it appeared to be blood because witnesses I've spoken with claim that when they went to touch this blood, it was dry to the touch, even though they swore that it was blood oozing out of this gravestone.
Hmm. So did you test the gravestone for blood, Chad?
I did. I've been there many times. It's one of my favorite cemeteries. It's a beautiful location. And not only has the blood been seen oozing out, I haven't seen it, but people see a black cloaked figure hanging around behind the cemetery of Cape Blood's gravestone. And it's a fun place to visit because it sits along the river, and at night the wind will whistle through there and really play tricks with your mind. That it's fun to visit.
It says here not only was she accused of killing a child, but that she died at the hands of her husband.
Yes. Some people believe that she was responsible for her husband's death or that he killed her, neither of which is true. But even though those stories have been found, the origins not quite right, people have experiences out there, which has led me to believe that some people believe seeing is believing, but maybe believing might equal seeing, that if you go to these places expecting something to happen, yeah, it seems you're much more likely that something will happen, whether you open yourself up to it or your imagination runs wild. We just don't know.
Let's go to Pat in Grafton next. Hello, Pat.
Hi. There is a very good haunted house in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. It's downtown on the corner of 8th and Franklin. It's the Mad Hatter Shop, and it's Dead by Dawn Productions. It's a gift shop, a clothing store, and it's very well done haunted house. But what's interesting about it is a long time ago, it was the Blue Dolphin gift shop, and the owners had a shop in Ephraim as well and one in Manitowoc. And the owners are said to make an appearance from time to time in the stores, and the former owners are now deceased, but they like to show up at the haunted house as well. Many people have reported seeing them.
And are they apparitions, or are they how do they report seeing them, Pat?
I've never seen them, but apparently they are apparitions, and they like to look over to see how the store is doing. The store is very different from when they owned it. You know, it was the typical gift shop, typical Door County gift shop, and, you know, there happened to be one in Manitowoc, and now it's more in, you know, novelty items, very eclectic type of things, and they appeal more to a 20-something clientele, and theirs would have been more of a, you know, middle-aged
clientele. They're just checking things out. They're not mad about it.
No, they're not. Yeah. No. They're just checking to see how their business is doing, and apparently maybe they enjoy the haunted house because they make an appearance there and they're not upset about it or anything. And I'm familiar with the Maribel Caves as well. And in its time, it was a tavern, actually, when I was in high school, and it's a beautiful building. And I did have a haunting experience. I don't talk too much about it, but since this is what this show is about, it was maybe about 5 years ago, and the electronics in the house would go off and on simultaneously, whether or not they were plugged in or not, and it got very disconcerting, and we weren't sure what to do about it. So I guess what we did is we went to the library, got some books on cleansing, you know, spiritual cleansing, and we just did sage and holy water and asked the spirits to leave, and that seemed to put an end to it, which I was very relieved about, because just to have your electronics go off and on for no particular reason and to just sort of pixelate for no reason, even when they're unplugged from the wall, is a bit upsetting.
Oh, my. Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm glad that's over.
Thank you for sharing all those stories, Pat. Appreciate it. A quick comment on, I think this is funny, that the former owners of a gift shop show up during the haunted house to check things out. Chad, what do you make of that?
I hadn't heard of that one before, which I love because it illustrates that no matter where you're listening right now in Wisconsin, there's going to be some place with a haunted legend right in your own backyard. And I love the idea of somebody coming back to run their business even from the grave.
Yes, that is something. And maybe just a reaction to electronics going on and off, even when they're not plugged in. I was going to ask Pat if they had an electrician at their house, but apparently not. They just did other cleansing routines and it stopped. What do you make of that?
Well, that's one of the most common reports I get from people, is that they notice weird things happen with their electronics. Not only lights going on and off, TVs turning on and off, yes, even when these things are unplugged, but also when people go to haunted places, their phones will die, the batteries in their camera will be drained, all kinds of weird things that just shouldn't happen unless, you know, there's something weird going on, maybe with the atmosphere or the electronic field or the magnets in the area. We don't know, but that's very common and one of the first things people notice because it shouldn't be happening.
So if I don't know, burn sage or do one of these other home remedies to rid my home of spirits, does that work?
It seems to. People who, believe it or not, just saying, this is my house, you're not welcome here, you're not alive, this is my time, that seems to help quite a bit. Others, as the caller mentioned, will burn sage, put holy water, they'll sprinkle salt, they'll do all kinds of things to get rid of these alleged spirits. And although that's not really my area of expertise, I usually can put people in touch with somebody who does this at no cost to help cleanse the house, if you will.
We are talking with Chad Lewis. He is a paranormal researcher and co-author of several books about the unexplained, including The Wisconsin Road Guide to Haunted Locations. And we noticed a piece that he wrote for Wisconsin Trails on Wisconsin's 10 most haunted places. And we better get a move on to get to the rest of them after this break. This is a Halloween edition of Tell Joy Where to Boo. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we are talking about spooky haunted locations in Wisconsin and welcoming your suggestions or any experiences you might have had when it comes to a haunted place in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Chad, we may not be able to spend as much time on the remaining on your list of the 10 most haunted places in Wisconsin, but very briefly, the Brumder Mansion in Milwaukee is number 5.
A B&B that is thought to be haunted by a young woman who's often seen downstairs where they used to put on plays for the guests of the house. And many people have seen her reporting she doesn't quite look like you and I look. She looked like she's from the past.
Mm. The Phantom Man of Highway 12 in Baraboo?
The Vanishing Hitchhiker is an urban legend throughout the world. But many people in Baraboo and the Dells, all the way up on Highway 12, will report seeing the ghostly image of a man hitchhiking. He's wearing a green army jacket, and of course nobody picks him up, but they'll be driving down the road, and all of a sudden they'll see him miles in front of them again, as though he's the same person. How he got there, motorists simply don't know.
Freaky. And I've heard of this one before, never saw her, but there is a Bloody Bride Bridge in Stevens Point.
Yes, Highway 66 Bridge, where a young woman bled to death on her wedding night waiting for help to arrive. And the dare is that if you park your car on this bridge where people have seen this bloody bride in her gown still walking, the dare is that if you sit there, she'll actually appear in your back seat.
Meek. Bodega Brew Pub in La Crosse.
Weird things happen at any bar in Wisconsin, but if you want them to be paranormal, stop in here. Bottles will fly off the wall only to be set down by some unseen force. Stools and bar seats move on their own. Bartenders have been tapped on the shoulder. When they spin around, nobody can be found.
Now, Carrie on Facebook says, I have been to the Plainfield Cemetery often to visit family. It's actually a peaceful place. My grandmother knew Ed Gein, too, although she thought that his gravesite at that cemetery is unmarked or was moved. I hope it was. Plainfield Cemetery is next on the list. So what happens there?
Many people believe that Ed Gein's ghost wanders the place where he robbed a lot of his graves. Also, people have heard the screams of his victims. And the emailers write that Gein's gravestone has been removed because people kept stealing it, and then they would return it saying they were cursed with bad luck. And if any of your listeners aren't familiar with Gein, they can Google him. Actually, I recommend they don't because it's so gruesome. You may not want to start your Halloween off Googling Ed Gein.
I think a lot of people know that the movie Psycho was based loosely on Ed Gein. So that'll give you an idea. The Siren Bridge in Siren.
A lot of places happen to be places with untimely deaths, murders, accidents that are thought to be haunted. And Siren tells the tragic story of a family coming home on a stormy night. They ran their car off the bridge into the water where they met their watery grave. And now many people have seen and heard the family, but many people crossing the bridge report that while they're listening to the radio, here they are enjoying the Joy Cardine show, when all of a sudden voices come over the radio of the dead saying, "Help me, we're drowning, please save us."
Oh my gosh, that did send a chill down my spine. Okay, so there you go. There are the 10 most haunted locations in Wisconsin, according to our guest, Chad Lewis. We have a caller, Dave, in Oshkosh with us. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I know we're running out of time, so I make this quick. The place that I would recommend to go was the Berlin Tannery. I was there just last weekend with another paranormal investigative team, and I got into the building. I didn't even last 15 seconds into the building. As soon as I walked in there, I started feeling like I was going to be sick. I turned to my girlfriend and said, "Hey, I think I'm going to be sick," and start looking for a place to throw up that's not the floor. I could feel my eyes rolling back in my head, and all of a sudden I felt like I got hit by a truck, and I hit the ground. I just passed out. And I came to, I had like 105 degree temperature. I was just sweating. And I mean, it was cold in the building. It was just last weekend at night.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to go to the Berlin Tannery, Dave.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. And thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Wow. Has anything like that ever happened to you, Chad?
Not knock on wood here. You don't want to curse me, but not anything that bizarre and maybe that spooky. But
we have just a minute, Chad. You do have. I'm sorry, because we have just a minute to go. I wanted to ask you what has been the creepiest experience you've had while researching haunted Wisconsin.
For me, it's always the things I can't explain, like the balls of light on our video and voices on our audio, but. I was at the Elk Lake Dam where Mary, the young girl I mentioned, was murdered. And one night we heard this mysterious scream coming from up above. And the weird thing was it never appeared on any of our audio recorders, yet the hair on the back of our neck was standing up all night because of that creepy metallic-sounding yell.
Wow. That would be spooky. In less than 15 seconds, are you investigating something right now or soon?
Yes, I'll be at a haunted location tonight because tonight is the night when the veil between worlds is at its thinnest.
You're not going to tell us where it is, though?
Yeah, I'll actually be, if anyone wants to come out, I'll be at the Elk Lake Dam outside of my hometown.
Good enough. Thanks, Chad. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.